during the Great Depression, as needs began rising from all sorts of people, there were some Protestant pastors who worked very hard with the federal government to create the program of Medicare and to create the program of food stamps so that this duty that was always the part of the people got passed to the federal government. And ultimately, by the time the Depression ends and all those social programs have been established, the duty to take care of the poor had been fully established towards the federal government and, to some degree, the state government. And then there arose the gospel of prosperity, where we made God Santa Claus, who rewards people for doing good and he punishes people for doing bad, as opposed to a God whose sun shines on the good and the bad, whose rain falls on the just and the unjust. This is a God who pays attention to us personally, and when you do something that God wants you to do, you get rewarded. And the best reward you get is financial. God wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be wealthy. And the more you can do what he wants you to do, then the more he's going to do something for you. I think we like Santa Claus God. I mean, there's things that make sense out of Santa Claus God. I'm more in control of God than he's in control of me. I can make him do things for me. And when things happen, I'm blessed. When good things happen to me, God is blessing me, and it must be because I'm a good person. And when bad things happen to me, why is God punishing me? I thought I was a good person. I don't know why he's doing this to me. As if somehow God is interpersonally involved in my prosperity. It's a sick religion. It's not Christianity in any way or form, but we tend to like it as an American people because it makes God a lot more accessible, the Santa Claus God. What we hear in the gospel today is an entirely different story. Notice who's named in the gospel. Lazarus, the poor man, has a name. The rich man never gets a name in the story. And Lazarus, the poor man, exists in the world of the rich man as an opportunity. He's going to be given a great gift after his life, but he existed as an opportunity for the rich man day after day after day. And even the rich man knew Lazarus's name. Send Lazarus. Because Lazarus was a very important person as a poor person. There are opportunities like that in our daily life today. We tend still to be like the rich man and keep our eyes focused forward and walk past. Any person you see with their little cardboard sign sitting on the roadside becomes the opportunity in front of you. Do you recognize the person? Or do you drive by because, you know, they're making thousands of dollars tax-free, they're just screwing us left and right. They shouldn't be getting anything. Why don't they have a job? We have all sorts of different excuses. But in every one of those, you're really looking at an opportunity that God has created. For the poor in our life are opportunities. Lazarus was an opportunity. Do I make God real? Or do I withhold him? And the rich man, day after day after day, walked past Lazarus. Never saw Lazarus as an opportunity. And he's towards the end, as he's now in his torment, he wants to use Lazarus to save his brothers. Never sees Lazarus as an opportunity to make God real. That's truth in Christianity. That yes, in fact, today we have the poor with us, we have the broken with us, we have opportunities in our daily life that God puts in every one of our lives. And we either can walk by because it's too difficult for us to deal with, or we can make an investment. What would have happened if the rich man had started feeding Lazarus? He might have had to make a commitment for a long time. Doesn't seem like Lazarus had much going for him if all he was doing was lying in front of the rich man's table. That could have been long term. But every day, the rich man would have been storing up a treasure in heaven. And that's what Jesus has been telling us over the last several weeks. Build a treasure for yourself in heaven, not here on earth. The gospel of prosperity would tell us, build a treasure for yourself here, and when God sees how wealthy you are, and you'll have all those blessings packing your backpack, he's going to have to say, well, I just have to open the door for you. I mean, you've been doing all the right things, following all the right rules, getting all the rewards, so ultimately the great reward is heaven. I don't think the opportunities in front of us that God gives us are often going to lead us towards being able to pat ourselves on the back. Jesus hanging on the cross is no great reward. And yet, that's what Christianity leads us to. Am I willing to die to myself? Am I willing to die for the sake of the God I love? Am I willing to see the God I love in this opportunity in front of me? Or do I look at that person and say, you know what, you're a problem. The government should take care of you. You know, they got programs for people like you. And the nice thing in the program that we have is that we also then have all sorts of accountabilities that we set in place for those poor people. They can't just get money and spend it willy-nilly. You know, they have to go through a process so that we can inform the taxpayers who are helping contribute to those poor that we know that those people are legitimate and they deserve something from the federal government. Nobody who's poor deserves anything from the federal government, but they do deserve our heart. They do deserve us reaching beyond ourselves to care for them. But it's not so much for their sake, but it's for our own sake. Do I want to build up a place for me in heaven? Or would I rather hold it all to myself today and have it taken from me when I finally die? It's the question in front of us. But I tell you, the lie is the gospel of prosperity. And the truth is the gospel of opportunity. It's in front of us today and every day.